Hey everybody, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. This is Cole Jedi Cole Houston, aka Surrogate Andy this week. We are
Hello.
Andy-less, and so if you're missing that klaxon there, that siren at the beginning of the episode, I don't have that particular piece of sound, whatever soundtrack, I guess. I don't know, but I don't have that, so this is going to be one of those rare episodes where if you were looking for and then hearing Eddie Medina of the Rancor Pit chiming in, sorry. But I do have a special treat for you if you've heard some, for the really keen among you who zero in on, who can do voice recognition to the point of even just a few sounds is enough. You may recognize the laughter you heard was none other than Kelly Long, who's joining us for midnight, the fourth, fifth, seventh time. I lose track.
Something like that. Between the two, I think it's seven.
Might well be because we enjoy having you on the show every chance we get.
Thank you.
And if you're unfamiliar, Kelly, you have been a friend of Andy for longer than I have.
Long time.
So if
About 22 years now?
Good night. Yes, I think that would be
Yeah.
about right.
Yeah.
So you may have heard the tale of crossing paths at a comic convention, and you two recently deliberately crossed paths at comic conventions, and
Yes. At Geek Fest, yes.
so you are actually the inaugural member of, was it JCU North?
JCU North, yep. Plans are being made.
Which sounds like a,
Exciting.
pretentious rich person's name. Oh, yes, it's JCU North of the Southampton Knolls.
it. Coming out of Tip City in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Well, those are
Woo!
some pretty metropolitan cities in Ohio. A
Hardcore. It's hardcore.
state known for its just replete with the hoi polloi. And
Indeed.
you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a rich guy in a top hat.
No, no.
Because that's like a sport for the lower classes. Yes, here, kill chicken dead cats, here. Knock the hat off.
Yes.
Knock the hat off the hoi polloi and win a prize.
We have special rackets in Ohio just for the occasion.
Wow. It's sort of like the running of the bulls. It's like the tossing of the dead
Yes.
cats.
Yes.
All cats were dead when we got there.
No cats have been
That's
harmed in
right. They
the
were
recorded
already dead. They
episode.
died of natural causes or in mining accidents.
Right.
For those of you who are really upset about the abuse of dead cats that are completely apocryphal, these aren't real cats, so please calm your happy asses down. So yes, Kelly, I'm sorry, welcome to the show again.
Thank
And I
you.
know that you and Andy have a little something in the works. I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag yet, but
Secrets.
a living
Secrets.
cat. Also apocryphal. And rather ironically, my cat is now meowing at the door because she hears
Oh.
Daddy talking. So, welcome.
As she's looking at me. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, indeed. This is issue number 228, I believe.
My goodness.
It's like asking the person who's doesn't have a completely vested interest in the show,
No,
like you have to keep up or anything like Andy and I do. 227.
Oh,
Hey
yeah.
Kids Comics 227.
That's
And I
right.
had a pithy title for this that escapes me at the
Oh, my.
moment. So, but Kelly, we have
Stay
asked.
tuned.
That's right. It's not uncommon for us to bring the title in mid-show. So, well, my old man brain crunches away on what I had in mind. We are going to talk tonight about a topic that I did not have to twist your arm
Not at all.
to join me for. In Andrew's absence, we're going to be talking about Wonder Woman.
Dun, 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 dun,
Very nice.
dun. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. We're going to talk about. I've got an even better idea. Let's just call it The Woman from Themyscira.
The mascara.
Themyscira.
The mascara.
That's from Maybelline, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Close.
I always get that.
Maybelline doesn't last as long as the mascara.
That's one of those ones you go to, like, you know, go to the Macy's makeup counter and get a free gift with your purchase of the mascara.
Right. Right. It'll be on the rest of your life.
That's right.
And,
and it's bulletproof. That's the...
It's immortal.
It will outlive you.
It will outlive you.
Yes.
What a deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's the closest you're going to become to being escorted to the hallowed halls of Olympus.
Mm.
At least...
You would actually be going across the River Styx to Elysian Fields, but close.
Oh, I thought you would be like Heracles and sort of elevated to a... At least your eyelashes would be elevated to a demigod status.
I don't know if I would want to go to Olympus in any form, because God only knows what Zeus would do to you. Oh, hey, there's somebody new here.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. No, I swear, this is the initiation ceremony. Ask anybody.
Exactly. You want to go to, yeah, the heaven below the earth,
yeah,
the Elysian
Fields.
Yeah,
that's so true, because
you
don't want to wind
Zeus.
Up, just ask Ganymede, he'll tell you.
Word.
He just Poor shudders Ganymede. In a corner every night.
I'm sorry.
I thought this was a good idea. It's actually, you know, that's who they based Morty on for Rick and Morty was the... I think Pliny the Elder had told tales of Zeus and Ganymede running around
That
way, through dimensions and what have you. So we are actually, obviously, this is just like having Andy here. Because there's a topic, there's a set concept here, but we're not getting there anytime soon, kids. So. That would be
right
wrong.
On. Well, we don't want to disappoint the fans.
That's so true. You know, they're like, well, that was a little scholarly and on the point. And
straightforward,
it
whatever.
It really did not feel like Hey Kids Comics at all.
Right. It's about the fans.
That's right. These are the sacrifices we're making for you.
Indeed. Indeed.
Because you're making the sacrifices for us by listening to the show.
Yes.
So, yes, we're going to go all the way back to 1942.
Yeah.
And it was, this was the year that the sort of the third pillar of the great triumvirate at DC made her mark.
Yes.
And, you know, I think... Certainly nobody back then knew where all this was headed, that these were going, you know, that Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman were going to become the premier characters
right.
of this budding universe, because I think back then Certainly. Everything was a little separate.
Well, there were so many small companies where you're just throwing out stuff, you know, that were just, like, pumping out. Once Superman hit big, you know, then you have all of these other... pulp writers just kind of jumping on the bandwagon, because why not?
Oh yes. And then and also it seemed like in many ways each of the, especially the big headline type characters, were almost, you know, they all existed in this shared universe, were almost independent of one another, where
yes.
with Marvel, you know, Spider-Man was going to crash your book,
right?
It was just a given. It was like,
well,
Zeus
and it's
and Ganymede.
Crazy how they're prophetic, how Marvel ended up doing what they're doing today. Like, they really were more concerned with the universe, whereas DC was really just, I mean, because they started it. Nobody, you know, DC didn't have back then, you know, something to base this off of. They had no idea it was going to be so big.
Absolutely.
And they certainly didn't understand that the World War would also be such a contributing factor into the sales of their characters.
Well, yeah, nothing so enhances the the kinds of distractions that, especially
sure.
in America, the general public were literally feasting on, because there was no shortage of outlets mm-hmm. to kind of distract you from the rest of the world. And
yeah.
And early on, by and large, the comics weren't intruding on you with the newsreels.
No. No, I mean it was in your newspaper, but also at the time, think about it. You're like Superman shows up. The Great Depression has been going on for years, and something, if anything, to spark the American imagination again is Superman. And then Batman shows up, and then they're looking for the next best thing, and then here comes Wonder Woman from a Harvard psychologist.
Exactly. In fact, one of the articles that I read, there was a little bit of what apparently was historically a little tongue-in-cheek big secret about who created Wonder Woman.
Sure.
That here was, yes, like you say, a psychologist, also one of the pioneers of a portion of the lie detector.
Yeah, he invents the lie detector test. He is, but he's not, I mean, like, if I may, we need to talk about William Moulton Marston as a person, because this really reflects then who Wonder Woman is, because
Absolutely.
there's a lot of things that she has as a character that are considered problematic by that, like if I look, if somebody asked me like why is Wonder Woman so much harder to sell than Batman or Superman, if we can, go in with the big three, you're going to start off with the fact that her inventor wasn't a comics guy. He was a psychologist, and he wasn't known for his how do I put this, traditional family setting.
Yes, indeed. What's funny is I'm glad you went there because that was one of the things that fascinated me about Marsden is the fact that he was sort of brought in by, as a comic creator, as a comic consultant, actually, I guess you'd say, to help sort of stem the tide of anti-comic sentiment in the US.
Marston is this opportunist. Like, he was this bigger than life opportunist who took any possibility and to try and support his family and his ideals. And he really, really was just this lovable, almost arrogant person, where because he just thought he knew everything, and that's just fascinating when you have that kind of confidence. And if you've ever read, like, he wrote books on psychology, and some of those I've read some of those books, and it's really, as a student of modern psychology, fascinating to try and, as you read it, go, this man created one of my favorite characters of all time. And so the problematic things that Wonder Woman has, she has this fact, first of all, she's female. That's for some reason really hard for mainstream populace to
Yeah,
accept.
especially in the 40s, when your traditional female comic character was usually had a one-word name followed by "of the jungle."
She's wearing a piece of animal skin,
Exactly.
or a piece of space, a sci-fi. Like, she's
Oh,
wearing
yes, or
a
of
part of a
Mars,
moon
or.
rock. She's got antennae, and she knows your deepest desires, or some kind of like crazy stuff like that. But so, and Marston's family life is a problem.
Yeah,
That's
especially
another
since he was hired to kind of help alleviate controversy at a time when some were trying to paint comics in general the villain to the point where, exaggerations of sadomasochism and rampant sex and violence and everything. So you go and you find it's important to vet the people that you bring in for
Certainly.
certain things
But not so easy back then.
because it turns out that they discover they're the champion of no really it's okay comics are wholesome isn't that wholesome himself at least in the
Not
traditional
considered by
sense.
that. Those standards of living aren't necessarily what is considered your optimal, your optimal family life.
And nowadays
He
there's
is
entire websites to cater to you if this is your family life, but back then.
certain. Back then, it was a different kind of thing, and he comes from this background where he really revered women, so much so that he happened to just live with two of them. But his mistress, like, this is some of the most important things that come into like what flavors Marston's creation of Wonder Woman, is that his mistress's aunt is Margaret Sanger, who is the leader of the plan. She creates Planned Parenthood.
And one of the
And
leading feminists of her day.
of her day, and her whose sister like ended up like starving herself for women's rights, the part of the tail end of the suffrage movement. And you have these women that are making such an impression on young people, and what the fight was, because Margaret Sanger created Planned Parenthood. I think her mother died at something like 35 years old or something, and she'd been pregnant like 38 times or something in her life. And she died from exhaustion. And while, regardless of how people personally feel, this then colors how Marston emulates, like, how the thing that he wants is to have these sexual relationships with women. And he has a wife, Holloway, what's her name? Elizabeth Holloway, I think. And then he has Olive Byrne, who then becomes part of their family unit.
And that was one of the things that really, I mean, you got to be a dynamite psychologist to convince your wife that she can either have a divorce or she can allow
Right?
your lover to come live in the house with you, and between the two of you, bear him, what, I think, four kids.
Right. Four kids. And that was the thing. I mean, you're talking about 1930 here. The divorce, the idea of a divorce is absolutely insane, period. And then what are your choices? And he actually says to Holloway, you can either we she can either live with us or I'm leaving.
Of course, you
And
know, the thing about it is, in that day and age, of course, in any day and age, a divorce is a matter of public record. Having your mistress live in the
right.
house and pretend to be your cousin or
Right.
something who is widowed,
Something. Yeah.
is not a matter of public records.
No,
Nobody's
exactly.
going
I
to go down
mean,
to the courthouse and like, well, let's take something up on Marsden, old Hollywood.
right. Marston did. He buried himself well enough later. Like he was able. I mean, he just kept trying to get into different and new places. Talking with the comics code and saying, no, these are great. But then later on offering, how to write scripts for movies, and like he was this Renaissance man with a really great resume, but unable to hold on to positions. But Wonder Woman was the one thing that he still was able to maintain as time went on. And he actually was writing script Wonder Woman scripts up until his death. He ended up dying from polio in like 1947, so the war is over. But he's still working on Wonder Woman. In the beginning, it was problematic because his stories were really sexual.
Yes, and that's one of the really fascinating things about it, because you have Superman basically puts DC on the map, or
Right.
moves them to the forefront. It moves comics to the forefront as well.
Right.
And you have this epitome of all of the ideals of the American dream manifest in a literal illegal alien.
You're right. Right.
Then Batman comes on the scene because, well, that worked. We need another superhero. So Bob Kane
Right.
conjures up this mysterious amalgam of all of the Zorro and
Yeah.
all of the characters, like the Shadow and Zorro, all rolled into
Right.
one mysterious character who has a. He's got kind of a Jack Sparrow moral compass, and because it just whatever way the wind is blowing and whoever's riding him, of course. But you have this character who is taking the fight to the street level as a fight. I mean, he's taking the war on
Right.
crime literally,
Literally, right.
and also, frankly, entertaining this sense of trying to find an impossible catharsis.
Sure.
Joe Chill has a lot more to answer for than the murder of the Waynes, because
Sure.
he basically opened a floodgate of hurt onto the underworld inadvertently,
Certainly.
not realizing what a psychopath that rich kid was going to turn out to be.
Right.
But you.
But then Batman becomes relatable, which Superman isn't.
That's so
He's
true.
just a guy. You know, I can do that, even though, you know, you have to start when you're like, what, 5 years old.
Yeah, you
But,
have to just
you
really
know,
never be able to let go. But you're right, you have basically the unapproachable, the unattainable, and on the other end of the spectrum, the closest man can be to God.
certainly. And then I think that Wonder Woman comes in with balance. Maybe not originally, but certainly in modern times, I feel like that she is that missing key between the other two. Not because she's female, but because of the way that Superman is like that. Yeah, he's the all-American, he's unstoppable. Batman is the knight and vengeance.
That's right.
And you know, you have these two polar opposites. And then here comes Wonder Woman, who in her current incarnation is this badass warrior that seeks peace first.
Exactly. And I think that that's where she literally is the fulcrum upon which the other two characters rest. You can look at her as that ex precise, she can walk in both of their worlds effectively.
Certainly, she can take both of them on and win.
But she could
But she
also
doesn't
just as
want to.
effectively replace either of them in a pinch against any of their
Easily.
rogues gallery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She is, yeah, she's that glue that really holds the DC universe together, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I
That is. Sorry, go ahead.
well and we've seen that evolution from her origins. And it's
It is, you know, and that's my favorite part about her. It's her ability to love, and it is her compassion. Above all, that
absolutely.
makes her what I think is the best character the DC Universe has to offer. I love a whole bunch of them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could spend days talking to you about how much I love DC characters, but it really is Wonder Woman.
Now she is that perfect balance of character, and that's what makes the early days. I think all of the characters, especially of these of the Trinity of DC, each of them have these sort of head scratching moments, like Batman starting out packing heat. I believe the mythos was such that that turned out to be Joe Chill's gun bought at auction. And sometimes if you were a criminal, sometimes you would get tied up in a bat rope and left on the steps of the police precinct, and sometimes Batman just as soon kill you as go fishing. And it was this strange sort of arbitrary meeting out of justice that made that character kind of difficult in retrospect to swallow. And then you get to Wonder Woman, and you have these rather curious early stories where you kind of get the impression that while Marsden was simultaneously brought in to kind of keep the wolf at the door, it was like he was hanging a stake on the knob,
Easily.
It's like,
Well, and
well,
Marston, and there's that confidence with Marston. He genuinely believed that women were going to rule the world, that the world would be saved by females. But the problem was that I mean, not necessarily a problem, but in his thinking, the way he thought that women were superior was because they were at their best submissive.
yeah.
And that's where you get in with the binding of the hands. So if Wonder Woman in the early comics had her Amazon bracelets tied together or chained together, she therefore lost her powers. So that gives you drive for stories. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've read Superman comics for years, and there's been times it's like there you can't beat this
Yeah.
guy. Why is that interesting?
And I think that's why
So
that was literally the genesis of Kryptonite, is they
sure,
had
exactly.
to,
They had to
I mean,
have
at the
something.
point, and that's been an argument for pretty much ever on that character. And you're right, it does, while Marsden did build in his yellow against the Green Lantern, or his Kryptonite, or saying invoking Bruce Wayne's mom's name. That's not the only thing I can think of that would actually could
Stop the
stop
bat.
him in his tracks. Yeah, I just would love to
But
see a
at the
scene
same time,
where he's
she's
about to take down a bank robber or something, and the His partner happens to be a woman named Martha. Martha, get out of here! Did you see
Right,
Martha?
right.
I'm turning into
Who's
Alex from.
Martha? I just have her name. Yeah, I
I'm
know.
turning into
With
Alex
the
from Clockwork
creepy
Orange.
voice.
Damn you!
My.
Then a bunch of Cockney bums come and beat the hell out of him. Alive, alive! Oh. Okay.
But what also stands out with Wonder Woman is, like, you know, Batman was based on Zorro, and G Superman could be related back to the Moses story. I mean, it's Moses, that's who Superman is. But you have Diana is based on myths, but she's also based on people. She's also based on these women, these female people in Marston's youth, and in his they're in his environment, and so he creates this comic book character that reflects everything he loves. He loves the psychology of telling the truth, and originally the lasso of truth is actually a lasso that would make the person do whatever the master wanted them to, which is super kinky, but then it becomes the lasso of truth, and it just makes you tell the truth
And in many ways,
because
I think that that sublimes its original intention, because it takes something that is oppressive, and like you say, that do the bidding of the master, and it turns it into something meaningful, and in a way, it becomes a swords to plowshares kind of thing, because it's less about. It still has the flavor of its domineering nature, but it's given a purpose.
It then transforms. It grows up later to become one of her biggest weapons. She has her bracelets and the bullet deflecting and the sword deflecting and all that. It's that defensive weapon. That's what her defenses are. But then she has this lasso that I'm really excited. The scenes that I've seen so far in the movie where she actually uses the lasso as a weapon. And not just to get somebody to tell the truth, even though I do love that, because one of my favorite moments from that Alex Ross, what was that?
Oh,
Oh,
was it
yeah, Alex
Justice or
was,
King
yeah,
and
it was
Come?
Justice. Yeah, it was Justice when they're all infected with like the nanobites or something,
Oh,
and
yes.
Batman has to wear the lasso. That's what saves Batman's life and everybody else, because Batman is technically the most dangerous member of the league because he knows everybody's secrets.
Oh, yes, and has made it his business to not only know it, but find the means by
Prepare
which to
for it.
counter it.
Right, exactly. The Tower of Babel, that graphic novel in the Justice League when like Batman's secrets get out and they all figure out that he knows everything. But that's what I love in that sequence with Justice is the fact that she her lasso keeps him in on track. It always will entice me as a person who grew up addicted to ancient Greek myths, and this was well before I ended up doing all that stuff in college. But I loved the gods and the goddesses, and I that is the reason I took Latin was because Wonder Woman embraced that and made it physical for me.
That's really cool, because I do want to touch really quickly. We sort of led into the kind of bondage nature of that, and it kind of flies in the face of Marsden's own psychology, or it would seem on the surface, because he was very heavily involved, not only with being romantically involved with women who were feminists, but also very staunchly supporting it, having a tremendous respect for women. I read part of something in one of the articles I read. It talked about how his son said, "No, there, he never would have got away with that kind of thing." He wasn't just some sort of bondage pervert. But what strikes me if you look beyond the, I think a lot of people read into, oh, well, you know, here's this, all it is about subjugation of women. You know, he's
Right.
elevating Wonder Woman to this level of a goddess, and then, you know, making the domination of man is what really will always be the undoing. And but people aren't realizing that that's the point he's making, is that
Exactly.
she breaks those shackles.
Yes.
Man can take control of woman, but she always breaks free. And you have to have that kind of be put into the position where you have to challenge those strengths. And I think that that's what he
Certainly.
was doing, and it was in a time when it wasn't interpreted in quite the same way. We're looking at a lot of the 40s Wonder Woman through the lens of a much more modern sensibility. And
I agree with that to a certain point. I think that the idea of Wonder Woman challenges everybody still, because it once they hear about her kinkier past, Americans cannot deal with sex.
no, yeah.
We can't. It's just like this taboo thing. It's everywhere. It's like, it's all sub, it's everywhere. But we, when we actually like sit down to have a conversation about it, we deny that we have anything to do with it. It doesn't matter that it's plastered all over all of our marketing. It doesn't matter that it's, everywhere. Every kid today probably knows more about sex than you and I ever did at their age because of the internet and
Yeah,
TV and all that
it's
stuff.
like the Library of
So,
Alexandria had a adults-only section that they didn't really have anybody pay. They didn't have a librarian keeping an eye on it.
Right, exactly. So you have this idea of thinking differently about sexuality and, even to a certain point, misogyny, and the ability of women to be incredibly strong. That's why it's so important that she can beat Superman. To this day, she can still kick his ass, and that's why she has to, so that she can still hold that same respect. My favorite part of Batman versus Superman is when she saves Batman. When she first pops down, and it's like the last 10 minutes of the movie, as far as I'm concerned, that's when it got interesting. Not because Wonder Woman's my favorite, because the rest of it was just so weird and so dark and so like, I can't even
No, it was.
tell
I
you. All
think
I know is that it was like,
they were trying too hard to make it too
yeah.
dark and too laden, and it becomes a very heavy plotting type of
Right.
thing, where Wonder Woman almost has no place at all until they finally just unleash
Get to
her.
the battle.
Yeah.
Right. She shows up and saves. She kicks out. She cuts a car in half with a sword for crying out loud. I mean, that in the moment, like in the movie theater, I am in this packed house by myself, and I stand up and I yell when she cuts that car in half because finally. But it is important that she still maintains all that because part of that kinkier past and all of that weirdness around Marston that nobody can seem to put their finger on, it's important because it's layered. And we as humans are layered. And she represents that and challenges that in all of us. And that's why she's so important, so iconic, and the compassion that is mirrored by the weird past, the past that is really difficult to explain for some reason.
And I think that also that's what gives you makes her such a timeless character, but also has allowed her to become an ideal subject for the modern comic writer.
Yeah.
Andy and I
Yeah.
talk often about how all these classic characters almost find themselves reinvented through the minds and craft of the modern writer. And Wonder Woman
Sure.
is one of those characters. When George Perez first makes the leap from artist to writer artist,
Yeah.
what
Yeah.
was brilliant is his retooling and this was the period where everybody had to be relaunched, and not for the
Right.
first or last time. But you know, this
Sure.
was the period of the first major remaking of everybody, with
Right.
Man of Steel, with
Right.
in many ways, oddly enough, The Dark Knight
Well, the Dark Knight Returns
retrofit.
comes out.
Yes, because
Yeah,
it's sort of
like
a future, but it informs the past, its own past.
it's the reboot. Yeah, it's a reboot.
Yeah, it literally becomes a sort of this retro reboot, or
Right.
the precursor informs the fact that how that the rest of it opens the door for writers to say, how did we ever get to this point with Batman? Oh, here's how.
Right.
And what was interesting, that Perez plays wonderful reverence to the mythological origins, even making kind of returning the rich mythology, the rich classical
Yes.
mythology to the tale,
Yes.
by invoking Hermes' wings as the reason she can fly, or but also not ignoring that kind of Marsden chains and
Sure.
shackles by bringing the sometime hero, sometime villain Heracles into
Yeah.
her origins in a way that suits per that nests perfectly into actual mythology.
Certainly. And it also becomes this question of relationships, because for some reason, Wonder Woman comics still have been pushing that button on relationships with her creation. But here comes Hercules, and the reason that the Amazons are sent to Paradise Island, to Themyscira, is because of half of them, when they were bound by Hercules and beaten in the origin story written by George Perez, half of them go after Hercules's men and kill them. And so, as punishment, they're sent off to Themyscira in the island, and so that they would remain immortal, but they weren't allowed to have, like, they weren't going to be able to touch the soil of man. And that's where, like, Hermes Sandals comes in. She couldn't originally fly to the United States in the comic book after George Perez rebooted it. She had to have these special flaming sandals. She could fly. She was given the gift of flight, which was a change from, because nobody flew jets anymore in 1986. But she could fly, but she couldn't go back and forth. And then Ares brings in Steve Trevor. That homage, she's got the Greek roots, and then she's also got the original origin story of Steve Trevor coming to the island. Plus, she's still made out of clay at that point. And I
Exactly.
really love that.
When
I
also
really love
it was brilliant how they were able to even retool Wonder Girl during that
Yeah,
period,
yeah.
because one of the best Teen Titans stories ever written was Who is Donna Troy?
Oh my God, you know what? Teen Titans are like number two on my list. So we could talk
Oh,
to Jane about
we'll
Teen
have to do a. I think we've done a Teen Titans episode before, but who says we can't do another?
I
More
mean,
about,
wow,
especially
so
maybe the Wolfman Perez era, because I
certainly.
mean, I get choked up thinking about that issue, because it was
You.
just so
So well
beautiful.
written.
It was just such a touching story, and gave the character closure. And I love that. I don't know who the writers were per se, but I love that there was a way that was found, even in the retooling, to make that Donna Troy origin work to a certain degree where it couldn't anymore.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, it. She became. Again, what a good reboot is bringing relevance into the modern reader. And Donna Troy then is brought forward with them, along with, the Teen Titans were pretty popular, like, what, 1982 to 1985,
Easily, or even a little bit beyond.
that's a guess, but I'm pretty sure it's right around then. And Wonder Woman gets rebooted in 86. But Marv Wolfman is one of those people, and so he can bring it in. And one of my favorite things when they move to the Titans, and they're no longer
Oh,
teenagers,
that's right, yes.
right, and it was like
They're no longer new, and they're no longer teen.
no longer new. Yeah, they're not young anymore. They're older now. They can vote, but
That's right.
But that story, like, who is Donna Troy, then gets answered again because they're able to come back to it as they're more adults. And Wonder Woman gets drawn in, and they bring in the Titans. And my 13-year-old self is like having a heart attack because it's the Titans and it's not just the Olympians.
Yeah.
And wonderful. That was a bit of a tirade, but
Quite all
wonderful.
right. Yeah, in fact, George Perez run, at least initially, and there were some wonderful stories during that period. I can't remember the name of the publicist who was a major player.
Mindy Meyer.
Yes, who winds up, this is like overdose on drugs or something, and there was. That's another one that was just. I wish I had thought of some of these when Andy and I did our That Moment When, because both of those are storylines that just choke me up. And then Greg Rucka's run, where he reimagined Wonder Woman's role as the ambassador of Themyscira, and it was
Yeah, and they bring back Diana Prince, and that's, and actually the art was really great. I
oh
forget
yeah.
the artist now, but the art was wonderful. And 'cause sometimes you run into those things where comic books for me still have to have their art good. Like good.
No,
Well,
you actually did a wonderful job of being Andy for a moment there.
thank
Because that
you.
was such an
Thank
Andy moment. I'm like, God bless you. That was
Thank
beautiful. I can
you.
do their art good.
Those aren't good. Oh my God. So yeah, but he, yeah, then the art comes back, and I really loved some of the stuff that they were able to mirror when they were jumping back and forth between 1940s Wonder Woman design and modern age Wonder Woman design.
Exactly.
Pretty cool. I really love the Azzarello years when the New 52 got kicked off. I was really nervous because I had read that they were going to take away her being made of clay and make her a daughter of Zeus, which, if I may be so bold, irritated the ever-living crap out of me. You don't take away Batman getting shot by his
Yeah,
parents.
exactly.
That's another episode of why are you doing that? But
Yeah,
he
we did an
actually
episode called
incorporates.
The Hell, you say?
That's what you say, exactly. But he, he brings back the gods, which was really fun and fresh because it had been about 30 years or so since they had really hit the gods stories again. And
Exactly.
so that I loved the art in that. So she's again reinvented. So how do you keep that woman in the minds of not only the reader, but now we're getting into, with the movies, and people, some people only have their Wonder Woman based on Linda Carter.
Oh, exactly. And this is going to be a bit of a culture shock for many, not to the level of, say, that little girl who discovered what a sex pot Starfire was when she graduated
Right
from
on.
Teen Titans Go! To actual Titans. But I'm glad that you brought up that refreshing and rethinking and the transformations, because the transformations work when they're smart. And I don't think we can talk about Wonder Woman without talking about the worst idea when it came to retooling a character. And I think that was during the 70s, was it? Where some brilliant mind decided that Wonder Woman really would be a much more interesting and engaging character if she was stripped of all of her powers and mythological origins and just became good old Diana Prince, the ass-kicking regular, like, girl Batman.
The
Yes,
ninja.
she,
Yeah.
to the point
Well,
where, Gloria
interestingly
Steinem
enough.
decried that as a terrible thing, and
Well, it, yeah.
especially after Wonder Woman had was on the cover of the premiere issue of Ms. Magazine.
That's when she found out that it had happened. It actually, I think it was like 69. I think it was 1969, maybe 1970. And it just happened to be the decision of Batman God Denny O'Neil.
Ah, good old Denny.
It was before Denny O'Neil hit Batman. And he did that to her. And there's a wonderful, The History of DC Comics. And I think it's on the DVD of The New Frontier, that Darwin Cook animated
Oh, yes.
movie, which if people out there in the internet, if you have not seen this or read this book, it is excellent. It is excellent. But they also have this history of DC Comics, and Mark Waid is on it. And if you've ever get a chance to talk to Mark Waid, I also recommend that too, because he's darling. But they go into that and they interview Denny O'Neil and he admits it. He said that was the worst idea I ever came up with, and what a damage that that did. I had no idea at the time how damaging that would be to women in general, but to the character.
And I had forgot that that was Denny O'Neil who
Yeah.
hit upon that. And yes, it was almost, I think it was taken very much as an affront, obviously unintentionally. And I think perhaps the logic there was solid. It was just the wrong character to do it with.
Yo, absolutely. Or create a new character. I mean, it works for other characters, maybe, but not Wonder Woman.
But I do
She
love that
just.
during the period where, a much more modern period, where you had sort of Diana Prince, Agent Prince,
Right.
as a storyline element, that the costume design, in a very small and subtle way, paid homage to that.
Yes.
Giving her a white costume was almost sort of like a little wink at the bell bottom white costume.
Absolutely.
And
Yes.
that was just a fun little nod without being obvious. And there might be people thinking, wow, I never really made that connection.
Right. And then you have this ironic part where the television series, which starts in the 40s, is going on at the same time where the book is not reflectant to the actual series in a weird, bizarre
Yeah,
way.
it's kind of funny sometimes how, by the, and of course, that thing's going into production, and probably O'Neill was patently unaware of a lot of the process there.
Certainly.
And here they are giving us a somewhere between a kind of fitting tribute to the character in another medium, and with enough of the approachability of the 60s Batman.
Sure. But with that, I mean, it was campy, but it wasn't as campy. They were
Exactly.
really pushing the camp in that 66 Batman. But she shows up and it, but here's this part, here's this section of the women's movement. And the other stuff that's on at the time, it's like the Bionic Woman. So you have these really strong female characters on TV. And Wonder Woman is, they come out with a doll even. Like, and that's the funny part, is like a doll really. It was a strange doll. I don't know if you have seen this, the Wonder Woman. It's not a Barbie, but it's the doll, and it's from the TV show, and it's bigger than Barbie. Because back then, you're sitting there. I was sitting there. I had Barbie. I had Princess Leia and Luke and C-3PO and Wonder Woman because that's what I loved at the time. And it really was this terrifying doll because she had these real eyelashes.
Oh, wow.
And just this, and her legs were like abnormally long, and her feet were really big. It was like this. I'm not really sure what was going on there. But I mean, you had the Diana Prince, and you had Hippolyta, and you had Steve Trevor. But yeah, the doll didn't really reflect there again. They didn't have that opportunity to do the tie-in with the comic book.
And I would say I've actually found an image of the character of the doll itself, and yikes.
It's
That
a
will
terrifying doll, and.
haunt your nightmares with those.
It's.
Oh, but you
I
know
have it
why.
still.
Because she was wearing my mascara.
Right? But she has these real eyelashes, and it
And
is
then now
terrifying.
they sit at the right hand of Zeus.
Right? And now they sit at the right hand of Zeus, exactly. And yeah, they come in, they have a special cup, and he has to move it every
Every
now and then.
night.
So. They're at the right of Zeus. So yeah, it's, and I love the Linda Carter. I love that Linda Carter show because I also love Lyle Wagner, and he really made it for me. There's parts of that stick out. Like Wonder Woman was real. She was jumping. She was picking up cars, and I actually, this is a small aside. My nephew, who is 5, had on his Batman shoes, and I had gone over to his house, and I had my Wonder Woman shoes on. And I was like, hey, Aunt Kelly has Wonder Woman shoes on. Who's that? And it's like I was waiting for that moment since the moment I knew he was going to become coming into the world. Yeah. And I sat down with him. And I was like, hey, she can deflect bracelets. She's super strong. She can fly. she uses a lasso. It makes you tell the truth. And then she throws her tiara, and it comes back. And that was the part where Reed could not handle it anymore. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If she threw her tiara in the ocean, it would not come back, Aunt Kelly. We had to sit down and watch Linda Carter, and here was this moment, again, where a character becomes relevant.
Exactly.
A moment where it's not just Batman and Superman, buddy, it's Wonder Woman.
Well, we are, as Andrew is fond of saying about this time on the show, coming up on it, so we unfortunately awesome. Have to... let things go from here. There's never enough time to talk about these
never.
Characters or the storylines or whatever we're choosing to, whatever playground we're on. We never get to have enough time. And
true that.
But you know, at the same time, we try to get as much in here, and I think we have crammed a lot into this hour.
There's a lot in there.
And thank you.
I will
very
encourage
much for...
everybody to go and look and read different stories from different timelines, just like we would do with Batman and Superman, and see why women are important, because it's always there.
Exactly.
It's always there.
Yeah, and this is one of those timeless characters you really should explore. There are several key periods where Wonder Woman is under a brilliant writer at her best.
Yes.
And the yes. way...
A reflection of... times.
And what I personally love is when you get even some of the silly aspects of some of the historical elements are
yes.
given new life and made sensible. And among those were the character Etta Candy, who I noticed appears to be part of the cinematic mythos.
Where I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with her.
But what I loved when basically... Perez brings all of the characters forward into
yeah.
what was then the modern era. He does a brilliant job of elevating Etta Candy from being comic relief, from being the Doibby Diggles of Doibby Dickles of Wonder Woman, into a very worthwhile character. And one of the things that
yeah.
struck me was a line where, you know, she's working on something, some kind of paperwork sort of thing as a clerk, and she's reflecting to herself that Steve Trevor says, "We all serve, even we who sit and type." And I thought,
yeah.
what a wonderfully, you know, elevating moment, not just for the character, but for just the concept of serving your country, even if your assignment isn't out on the battlefield.
The warrior, sure.
And it was just one of those other little moments when a single line in a comic struck a tremendous
can make
chord.
Or break it.
Absolutely.
Sure. So, well, what I really love about Etta Candy, she actually goes through a time where they make her heavier in the beginning of the Perez reboot, which they should, because in the original she was, and it's important to represent all, you know, I think it's important to represent realistic body types and realistic struggle in comics also, and you can do that in your secondary characters. And so here comes Etta Candy, and she's going through a weight loss program, but it just happens to be corresponding in the same time, like one of my favorite Wonder Woman stories of all time, The Challenge of the Gods, where Diana is figuring out she has to go through and battle all of these ancient monsters in the underworld, and Etta Candy is fighting weight problems. And it's the same battle, though. Like, it is just as hard to battle yourself than it is to battle the hundred-handed giant. And it actually becomes, like, one of my favorite moments also when Diana realizes or is told the origin of her name and her first name, Diana. Because that's not really, you know, it's not really that Greek.
Yeah, it's not
you know, but,
that classical a name.
Right, it's not that classical. So, but they make it into this wonderful, poignant moment. And again, like you said, you have these moments where the writing comes in, and it's just as important to realize that fighting is whatever we make it.
Yes. And the battles are It's
All important.
the challenges you're facing, or are the various tasks of Hercules, or in this case,
Certainly.
you have the principal character and the supporting character. Well, any closing thoughts before we have to unfortunately wrap up on Wonder Woman in a nice golden
I
lasso bow?
am super excited to see Wonder Woman on the big screen. And there are things that I'll point out that I think are important to look for. First of all, she's fighting. Her fight stances, her ability to break weapons, but then she has the shield. They're using the shield in an interesting way. She's going up against bullets, but also in the fact that she is disgusted by the modern world. That line, that, welcome to London, it's awful. But that's the truth. Why she comes from a paradise. I encourage people to look at the movie and really understand that this person is coming into the modern world. We all grow up,
Oh, exactly. I
and this
think
is
that's a really
Diana
good
growing
point
up.
about it, is you're having this character. This is one of those true outsider stories, and juxtaposing, like you say, the paradise against this modern world, and it's
She didn't grow up with the modern world, not like Clark did.
yeah,
She.
even and of course, coming into the modern era, the contemporary era, as we're heading into the rushed JLA, we're it will be interesting to see how this informs her character when she has a chance to have some more depth to it, in the ideally
Certainly.
in those. So absolutely do. I'm actually looking forward to this too. I was a little dubious as to what they were going to do, and I'm pretty happy with what I've at least what's implied so far.
Yeah,
So,
me
but
too.
do check out Wonder Woman in the myriad incarnations, because she is a very important character in comic history, because she
Yes.
is one of those few characters who not only gave a strong female character, but also, had vulnerabilities and the nuances that make
Yes.
her more real, but has stood the test of time, has been constantly reinvented, and more often than not, effectively.
Yes.
And I want to thank Kelly. Thank you very much again. When we
Oh,
have you on the
thank
show,
you. I got to talk about her for an hour.
and you brought so much passion and knowledge, because
Thank you.
oftentimes the passion that Andy and I bring to a topic isn't always backed up with a tremendous amount of personal knowledge. So it becomes a lot of fart jokes and off-the-cuff references and things that me just trying to pull things out of my ass that'll surprise Andy that I invoked a certain art, like a musical artist he didn't even know I was aware of, or
I can appreciate that, Cole, certainly.
So this has been an absolute treat, and Andrew will be
Thank
back
you.
next week, and I believe we're going to talk about whether or not we want to start a new arc, or we may just have one final standalone. There's one that I think may be next on the rotation, called Anger Management, where we talk about characters like the Hulk and
Nice.
and Angar the Screamer, who has not gotten much
Ooh.
coverage in about 35 or 40 years.
That's a tragedy.
Isn't it? I think Angar the Screamer ought to be just brought back to the forefront. He needs to be one of the Sinister Six.
I think you guys need to have an episode maybe on, the characters that can't control themselves, like Matter Eating Lad or
Matter Eater Lad.
emotional responses to stimuli. Matter Eating Lad.
Don't get me started about Matter Eater Lad or Matter Eater Lad. That's to annoy Steve if he's listening. So, in the meantime, do go out, collect, discover, expose yourself to some new comics,
Please.
and share in the collective experience. We're very fortunate that, despite one of the earliest issues of this very show, we was titled the Never-Ending Eulogy, and I think people have finally stopped decrying the end of the paper comic. And
Yeah.
be a part of it. Continue to keep the tradition going, like the movie theater, the comic won't go away, should not go away.
Agreed.
And go.
Support the stories. Go see them opening weekend.
That's right.
That
go see
makes a
Wonder
big
Woman.
Difference.
Help boost those numbers.
June 2nd.
Thank you.
Wonder
I was
Woman.
Like, oh gosh, I didn't even think to look that up. Yeah.
Of course I was going to know.
Naturally.
I'm telling everybody I know. I'm walking around with this bag, and people are like, nice bag. I'm like, it starts June 2nd.
Your bag starts June 2nd?
Go see it.
So, again, thank you. Good night, Andy. We'll talk to you next week if you get the chance to listen to this between now and then. And be sure and check us out over at the Jedi Cole Universe, where the universe just continues to expand at JediCole.com. If you think about it, drop us a line at JCUmail@yahoo.com. And I'll probably be doing a raft of tweeting as the Rancor Pit Live,
Ooh.
Or the Rancor Pit Roadshow Summer Invasion Tour
nice.
Continues. We're a couple of weeks out from Famous Monsters in Dallas. If you're in the Dallas area, Famous Monsters is going to be in Dallas this year. It won't be in Dallas next year. This is a traveling show. Get in on this. $65 for 3 days? What?
Oh my
and
God.
The Rancor Pit will be there all 3 days. So, you know, hey, check us out. Tons of great guests. If you want to know about conventions in the state of Texas, Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info. I often remind everybody, every convention in the state of Texas, if I'm aware of it, it winds up on the site. Click on the name of the convention and go to their website. Because there will have been over 100 conventions again in Texas this year. So keep it 100, Texas. And I'm out.